This is the Sports Kings, brought to you by Kings Court in Houston on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
Hey, welcome back. Second hour of the Sports Kings show here on SB Nation Radio. And this is going to be an interesting hour because it's all NBA. And if you want to chime in on what took place today as the NBA trade deadline came to a close, give us a call. 1-800-777-2907. 1-800-777-2907. Really like to hear from the Cleveland Cavaliers fans. I mean, not that they...
I'm pretty sure some have mixed emotions, but I'll just say for the most part, they know they're in the right direction, though. Because as of right now, of course, they're trying to address the situation at hand, but you're always going to have something knocking at your head that's saying, you know, to look for the future, and that's the thing that gets very cloudy. And that's for everybody as of right now. I don't think no one really knows what is going to transpire after this season because, I mean, of course, free agency, of course, but, I mean, the big question already, and I'm not getting tired of it, but we always have to have a narrative out there, and we always have to have something else to be looking for. But I guess that's the joy of the sport, that we always have something else to look for. But, of course, the number one thing is going to be where LeBron's going and what is he thinking of that's going on right now and how much, you know, did he have in all of this. I think those are all going to be very interesting questions to kind of just be asking yourself. But there's something also I wanted to, kind of ask everyone an open-ended question because – the stuff, you know, what Adrian Wojnarowski does and, of course, what Brian Windhorst, you know, two really big guys on ESPN that do very well, but they go very in-depth with a lot of information. And sometimes, to me, I get overwhelmed a little bit about knowing too much. Just about I'm not sure if I really care or understand why I know why this person feels about this situation or if there's turmoil in the team, like why is that so much kind of pressed on everybody? And we got to, of course, we're going to spin it because it's information that we know and that's free information for us. But to, I guess, you know, the uncomfortable things that we have to kind of go through and we got to throw all that out in the light. So throw out everyone's dirty laundry out there, you know. And
we're going to throw it out there too here in this whole hour here as we cover the NBA. So folks, stick around. It's the Sports Kings show here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
Always fun doing an NBA Thursday night show as we get into the National Basketball Association here on the Sports Kings Show, SB Nation Radio. And David, you were saying right before the break?
Yeah, I was going in my mini of tangents that I usually go. But I really wanted to open it in a question for both of y'all, honestly, just because I know, Gene, whenever you're coming up, and especially you've seen different media than I have. Like, I only remember what I remember, of course, and that's going to be my own kind of experience. But as of now, during the social media age, and I'm kind of glad that this is going on. But at the same time, I have to draw the line with myself because I feel that influences too much. Because, for example, Adrian Wojnarowski was doing an amazing job today breaking all the trades, and he has all the, you know, sources and everything. And, of course, you know, it's him and Brian Windhorst and ESPN and also other, you know, modes of media have, you know, their people who are insiders that break the news and everything. And it's all very fine, and I enjoy all the information. But sometimes whenever we know a little bit too much, it kind of, like, startles me a little bit, and I start to have that negative feeling about teams or certain people just because we kind of take it just the way we'll take it as, you know, if we knew these people, you know, in front of us, and this is the information we knew. And the thing that kind of sparked this with me was the whole John Wall situation and how he was kind of going back and forth on Twitter. And, you know, he was on ESPN and Michael Smith was asking him, you know, these very, you know, questions to make him feel that he was kind of not cornered, but pretty much made him explain himself in the way that all that interaction was. And to me, it was a really brutal thing to see just because we kind of know that there may have been some shade thrown at his teammates or whatever the situation is. And honestly, it shouldn't have got to a point where we have seen all of that. It shouldn't have got to the point where we have something to use in our arsenal to talk about. It shouldn't have never got there. But, you know, they cornered him. They asked him the hard questions, and he had to, you know, kind of get all that, get out of that. And also, whenever Kevin Durant and Russ play each other, that has to be a storyline too. And they always have to ask questions about vice versa whenever people are interviewing those guys. And then I'm pretty sure even there to a point where even Kevin Durant, I believe, said it. He's like, why do y'all still care about this? Like, this is something that kind of happened already. Like, I think everyone's kind of over the situation. But you keep on bringing up a situation that I feel that sometimes is really the media who's kind of pushing that a little bit. Because, like I said, Gene, I wanted to ask you. So, like, back then, you had to read the newspaper. You had to, you know, be up to date with maybe even Sports Illustrated or whatever magazine you were keeping up with. There was this – you had to look for it. And now it seems like we're just fed it. So everyone has the opinion, and now everyone's just shoving it down your face openly.
But you got to thank social media for that. I mean, you got to think that, you know, social media is out there pushing stories that most journalists would, you know, not catch. I mean, you know, a lot of times back in the day, those you can get stories that would develop in the locker room. You know, somebody might say something. You know, when you interview a player, like I've talked to a lot of NBA players, I remember interviewing Derek Coleman and asking Derek Coleman when he had rejoined the 76ers, you know, how did it feel to be back with the 76ers? And Derek Coleman said some things to me that I'm like, whoa, you know, what do I do with this? Do I mention it on my show? Do I call up everybody and say, whoa, this is what's happening here? Derek Coleman, I mean, so – yeah, it was a story. It was an interesting story. I chose not to, you know, because he pulled it back. You know, he realized what he said, and I can tell you what he said. I said, hey, how does it feel back to be back in Philly? He goes, what? He goes, I can't stay in this effing place. You know, so, I mean, so, you know, I had a chance to go with that and make something out of it. I chose not to, and he pulled it back. So, you know. But, you know, so those things could happen. It happened to me with a San Diego Padres pitcher, too. When I asked him, I said, hey, you guys think you have enough to win the pennant? He literally looked around the locker room and like, with these guys here? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, so it just, you know, sometimes you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to roll with it. It's a story. It's a story. But today it's so easy to pull stories off the internet. The Twitter, and just dig deep into them, because you're not doing your job as a journalist if you're not,
of course,
you know, investigating. Yeah. But you know, you talk about this John Wall thing. How about when Kyrie Irving went to Boston and Max Kellerman just kind of drilled him? Stephen A. had his one point of you know, he kind of understood what was going on, but Max Kellerman was trying to find something.
Yeah.
And Kyrie Irving was like, dude, what are you looking for? There ain't nothing there. No, really, you got to tell me why you don't want to be there with LeBron.
And then so
I mean, it's you're gonna investigate, and sometimes there's nothing, but then a lot of times there is something to it though.
Well, most definitely.
I think that's just the nature of the business and how it's evolved. I mean, first off, we can say we don't want this, and I guess everyone's different, but for the most part, everybody loves this type of stuff.
Because
we want to know why the details, why things happen, and also it gives context to things. Like, example, why Cleveland traded Kyrie, why Kyrie was unhappy, the details from Woj and whoever was breaking those stories. Now you have more context on why Kyrie felt that way and wanted to be traded. And I think you have to – it's just an evolving world, but social media and the way it is now, the way we consume stuff, I think it's just the nature of the business. And also, yeah, from the player's perspective, when they get asked some of the questions, it can be annoying sometimes. But one, you know, that's what – people can say what they want, but they still – those are the topics they want to hear about. They want to hear about – do Russ and KD still have beef?
Trending.
All
it's trending.
That. Yeah. They can say that they're tired of it, but the truth is, you know, people, they know what gets ratings. They know what gets clicks, and that's just the way the business goes. And second, I really have a hard time feeling bad for players. I mean, look, I understand they're humans too, and there's certain things. I'll always defend players more often than not, because I think it's kind of – they get a hard rap sometimes, and I think – you know, they just think just because they're NBA players or NFL players that, you know, they can't have an opinion or they're not human too. At the same time, there's an understanding. You're going into a sport like the NBA, and you're going to be a high profile athlete, especially in today's age, you're going to deal with pressure. You're going to deal with those questions. You're going to have to answer questions you don't want to answer. You don't have to answer them, but
right. They're
going to ask them, and you're going to have to deal with criticism. That's mm-hmm. just the way it is, because you're getting paid handsomely for that. That's part of the reason why you're making $30 million a year, is you're going to deal with that criticism. That's built into your contract,
right, so
to say. So I think in the end, you have to look at it from those two perspectives. And also, it's just like I said, it's a changing world. And I think now more than ever, everyone's kind of seeking information. And that's, you know, the more details, the better.
It definitely leads me to this whole Cleveland Cavalier thing, because you started it, Shay. Why was Kyrie leaving in the first place? Mm-hmm, why was mm-hmm. he kind of like going away from this situation that could have, you know, why would anyone kind of want to walk away from that situation? And so that really planted the seed of what was really going on underneath. And, of course, whenever the Cavaliers and the Celtics play, that's the thing. You know, Kyrie and LeBron, how are they going to interact and what are they going to do?
But you're not doing your job if you're not asking those tough questions. But I tell you what's really funny now when you talk about, because I can say this, you know, as an old school person watching some of these guys and things that went on back in the day, it's funny how years later you find out how right these reporters were, because these players would come out and say, yeah, you know, there was something there, but, you know, we worked through it.
The books that they write out.
Yeah, I mean, trust me. So sometimes there is something there. I mean, they don't want to talk about it, but it's still there. But just amazing stuff. So we have to talk about all the big trades that went.
Let's get into the Cavaliers since they're hot.
Good Lord. So first of all, you know what? I'd like to hear from the listeners out there. They might want to be able to chime in on this. 1-800-777-2907. The Cavaliers, and this is something. Shay was on the show. He produced the show the last time we talked about the Milwaukee Bucks, and when they fired Jason Kidd, where the Bucks were. They were in the eighth spot. Well, the Bucks are right there in the fifth spot right now if the playoffs were to start today. They have won 7 of the last 10. Cleveland is the one team, if you look who's in front of them, the Raptors, you look who's behind them, and even in that fifth spot, everybody has been winning except Cleveland, okay? In the Celtics have the same record as the Cavaliers over the last 10 games, but Cleveland had to do something. I mean, I'm sitting there watching the game the other night. They're up by 16 points on the Orlando Magic, and how the heck do they lose that game? And you can see it. You can see the demeanor. And I have felt this entire season that Tyronn Lue should be fired.
I think a lot of people feel that way. And I felt
that certainly after a game like that, if in a game that you are going to get fired, that should have been the one.
And then he didn't even finish that game, right? Like he had an
illness or something like that. But, I mean, it's just amazing stuff here. So, yeah, Cleveland had to do something. Cleveland had to do something today because Cleveland is sinking. That's a sinking ship there. And I used to be in the Navy, and I know what a ship – I've never been on a sinking ship, but I know what happens when the ship sinks, you know. So, I mean, it's just amazing, and they did what they needed to do.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. I mean, clearly they made some big-time trades. I mean, they completely remade the majority of their roster. I actually think they got better. But and obviously the big talking point is going to be the Cavs. I mean, they needed to get better on defense. The Isaiah thing just was not working out, and you know he's really having a hard time being a second option. And whether he can accept that role is another thing, because he didn't really do that in Boston. He was the guy, and if he can't learn how to play off the ball, be a secondary playmaker, be a secondary option, be able to spot up, it doesn't matter because his defense is horrendous. I mean, we always talk about defensive liabilities and. You know, particularly in the playoffs, teams, when you have one team to scout, and that's the only team you're scouting, and you have multiple games to play them, and it's amazing, and you'll see it in the playoffs every year. Mm-hmm. When you have a liability or a weakness, particularly on the defensive end, teams will hunt it
down and poke at it and prod at it until it's
basically exposed big time, and you'll see it. And I think Isaiah Thomas is a historically bad defensive player. Like, we love to rip James Harden, and we love to rip certain guys. I mean, just on top of the guys.
But he's bad, though. He's really, really, really bad.
Where's the defensive rating?
It's bad. Yeah. And he's not trying to be funny. He's really bad.
And look, you can't look at always advanced stats for defense just because, you know, defense is really hard to judge, but he's statistically one of the worst defensive players.
Yes,
it's bad. Can't defend the pick and roll. Just can't. Has no size. Like he doesn't get steals at all either. He does nothing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I tell you what, when you know, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll actually talk about those players that were traded. So they sent Isaiah Thomas to a team that doesn't play any defense. So maybe – and that probably doesn't have a chance of making the playoffs. So you don't have to worry about none of that stuff. So anyway, so folks, you listen to the Sports King Show here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramon.
All right, we're back here talking NBA basketball here on the Sports Kings Show on SB Nation Radio. And, you know, we talked a lot about the Cleveland Cavaliers and what they needed to do and the big trades that they made today. So how about we just take a look at what they did do. The big trade was the one involving the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Los Angeles Lakers get Isaiah Thomas, they get Channing Frye, and the Cavaliers 2018 first-round draft pick. So, but the Cavaliers get Jordan Clarkson, who the Lakers were trying to do something with his contract, and they also get Larry Nance Jr. So Larry Nance Jr., up-and-coming player, just dynamic forward on the court. Pretty good for Cleveland. I think they made out on that. We already talked about Isaiah Thomas, and if the Lakers don't make the playoffs, well, his lack of defense won't really matter. But also, they wasn't done, okay? So they ended up doing a three-way trade with the Sacramento Kings and the Utah Jazz. So basically the Cavaliers give up Derrick Rose and Jay Crowder to Utah. And
also Iman Shumpert to Sacramento.
Iman Shumpert to Sacramento. But Cleveland ends up with Rodney Hood and George Hill, two guards. So they just basically change their guards all across the place.
And also, looking at George Hill, George Hill is a guy who's been around the league for a while, and I'll count him as a seasoned vet. And I think this is another thing, even Shea was saying, you know, statistically, to kind of measure someone's defense, to me, it is kind of hard to measure defense. And also, I think in Isaiah's case, it's a little bit different. It's because the size is so different. But, I mean, there's other guys that with his size also did a lot better. For example, Nate Robinson, just to name one. So, looking at George Hill, he also doesn't play the best defense or most, but also
George Hill's a good defender.
But this is the thing, too, I was about to say, though, playing with a team that doesn't really do much for you, because I can kind of see that he just went downhill this year. And it was mostly because of the team that he was on, and just because it was just a team that really – you kind of know that they were not really going anywhere. And I don't know what that does for a player, just because you're with a team that doesn't really have that top – you know, in the top eight, and maybe you don't put as much effort as he do, because with the Pacers, he was a prime time guard, and to me, one of the best guards in the East whenever the Pacers were going through their run. Because you can honestly say that about that whole team, because it was overall really good. Mm-hmm. And now he's in a better situation where he can maybe flourish.
Started with the Spurs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He was great in Utah last year, and I think you probably made the best point. It's, you know, if you think the fall off, it's really down to your situation. And, you know, depending on what situation you're in, dictates, you know, how much effort you put in. And I think Sacramento is just not a great situation. I think in Utah, he was playing great defense. I mean, he was one of the main reasons they won that Clippers series. He was doing great. Same thing in Indiana and same thing in San Antonio. Good cultures and winning teams, he was fine. So I think we have to remember that. I think he's a good fit because it's a huge defensive upgrade. I mean, he's not Patrick Beverley or Chris Paul in his prime defensively, but he's still, upper end of defensive point guards. He can play off the ball, which means he can spot up and shoot threes around LeBron and also kind of do more things off the ball, but also handle the ball and handle the second unit. And I think that helps him. He's not going to create a ton of offense for you, but he's good as a secondary option. I think that's going to fit well for them. And it's basically the polar opposite of Isaiah Thomas.
Not a liability at all.
Yes, I think that helps him. And I think Rodney Hood gives him another option as well.
Yeah.
The contracts are an issue because I believe Hill's on the hook for around, I believe it's like 18, 19 million. I'd have to double check that. But he's owed a lot of money next year. So the money is going to be an issue, you know, how they're going to use Rodney Hood going forward as well. Mm-hmm. To me, getting Clarkson is the interesting thing because I like the Nance move. I think it's going to help them. He brings some athleticism to a roster that needs it bad, that had a lot of aging guys, particularly on the defensive end. You could really, really see it. That's why they're so bad. It's not just that they have defensive liabilities out there. It's that these guys are aging. And I think they're taking on Clarkson, who they were trying to move for a while, and it's a lot of – that's a lot of money going
forward.
It
is a lot of money.
And for a guy that I think is solid but not even – I mean, they already have two bad contracts with J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson. So it's – they're taking on a lot of money with George Hill next year and then Clarkson for the next couple of years. It's a risk, but I do think they – it's going to be interesting to see how they – how it is going forward. The money is the big issue for them if you want to criticize it, but I think they did get better. And I think it'll at least help them. At least you'll notice a little bit of a difference.
Well, let me ask you this question then, since we're talking about that, because you think they're going to get better and we're looking at the standings where they are now. Cleveland shouldn't drop farther than where they are. There's always that chance that they might drop to four. Well, I'm looking at Milwaukee. We talked about Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago. Even with the new Cleveland Cavaliers, I don't think they want to play the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round.
Especially if Jabari Parker gets back to going what he
and right now it's looking like that could happen.
Because honestly, until this year, I definitely didn't really recognize Chris Middleton, and now he's up there almost averaging every 20 points every other game. And of course, Bledsoe's coming along, and now meshing, and Giannis, of course, is going to do what Giannis does. And to me, and the fact that you always got to just give him 25, just because you just really don't know what to do with him. So I guess the key thing will be to stop everybody else. But like I said, when Jabari gets 100% and he starts playing the minutes he needs to, that's four guys on the court that can easily go for 25 or 30 just out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, and I think the Bucks are a threat to everyone. I mean, I don't think Boston wants to play Milwaukee either.
Yeah, I don't think they do either.
I know.
It's one of those things where they're still very inexperienced and they may not win the series, but they will push a team and make you work. And really, just for them, it's going to be, I want to see defensive improvement because I think the offensive stuff is there. They have the potential to be better than last time we checked a couple weeks ago when they fired Kidd, 27th in defense. And I think they need to be better than that. And I think they have the potential to be better than that. Now, we'll talk about this more next segment. I wanted to get your opinion on this. The Lakers' perspective, because everyone's talking about Cleveland. I think that it's a risk because they're taking on more money. But I think everyone agrees their team is probably better, at least slightly, at least defensively, they're not going to be as bad. And how much they improve, we'll see. But I think most would say they're better, at least on paper. You got to play the games. But for the Lakers, I think it's going to be interesting to see because they got off some money. Now they have the money for two max slots. They're not going to pay Isaiah Pass this year. I mean, that's just basically they're taking on his money and, they're not going to re-sign him. But you got Ball, you got Ingram, you got Kuzma. Now, does this really increase the chances of LeBron going to L.A.? I think we have to look at it like that. I think they got off some money, and we'll talk – and again, we only have a minute left, so we can't go too in-depth, but we will next segment if y'all want.
Yeah,
I think it's
going to
be
absolutely
interesting. Like, is this really helps the Lakers, I think, salary-wise? They got off some money. They're off the hook with Clarkson. They're off the hook with Nance. I think –
it's the one person that they're not off the hook with, and that's Lou Alding. And I know we'll talk about that because Lou Alding is hanging around still with some crazy money, not playing or doing anything like that. But I do see and we'll get into it. I know they're setting up for the summer of 2019.
Or Julius Randle doesn't come back either, and that's the whole
– it's still
– a whole bunch of more money, too.
As much as I would hate to see LeBron James in a Laker uniform, I just don't – support that. Lakers have done well with bringing in their people and building them up, even though they needed all of that help for Rick Fox and that supporting cast years ago. But we'll get into it, folks. Great stuff here tonight as we talk NBA basketball here on the Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
There's no way Lou Aldean, $72 million, $17 million this year, and his name was not mentioned on any trade today. It's crazy. Laker fans are wondering what the heck is going on with Lou Aldean. Lou Aldean is wondering what's going on with Lou Aldean.
Yeah, and also I think the Lakers need to, I guess, peep out, I guess, Portland, what they're trying to do, too, because they're trying to move stuff as well, too, because they, just as we were talking about bad contracts during the break, we brought up Ryan Anderson, but I think who really owned the cake on this one is the Portland Trailblazers, how they're paying a whole bunch of guys, you know, not really perennial all-stars, but they're giving them some money out there. And now they're, you know, starting a little ways to clear some space, because I think everyone, a lot of people can agree that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum deserve a little bit more, they can definitely make a run.
Yeah.
But back to the Lakers real quick. We were talking about Lou Aldean, of course. Mm-hmm. And just in case people don't really, you know too much, what the Lakers are trying to do, they're really trying to set themselves up, of course, for this summer, and I guess then beyond, because this can really be the staple, because you already got a good young core. I guess, you know, Ball's definitely going to be one of your guys, but Kyle Kuzma is who they really struck gold on. And I think that was the one thing that no one really imagined was going to happen.
No, they didn't see that. But Laker fans out there and have been waiting and waiting. And, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics, you know, the two storied franchises that have over, good Lord, almost 40 NBA championships between the both of them. And to see the Celtics get to the top where they are, because I think the Celtics will certainly be winning another NBA championship within the next 2 to 3 years. But Laker fans, certainly back in, you know, the 1999, 2000, 2001, they went back-to-back-to-back, then they did it again. They went back-to-back. So certainly when the team gets it together, they usually run off championships. You know, there's no Phil Jackson there now. But they certainly, when they get there. But the Lakers have been dangling that carrot to their fans for a long time now. You know, so you have to really justify. Talk about the Mozgov and the Ding. What was that supposed to do? Well, when they found out that they couldn't go out and land a big fish, so they went for something, you know, something else. Didn't do anything. Look where they are now. They got lucky with Kuzma. They didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, and now here, and you know, Ingram is their bread and butter. They're not trying to part ways with Ingram at all. And you did the D'Angelo Russell thing there. And then let's even take it into the management. Let's take it to the front office. So Jimmy, you know, Jim Buss, who ran the team for a while, you know, the passing of Dr. Jerry Buss, you know, he gave the franchise to his kids, Jenny and Jim. All right, so they fought for the longest. Jim did what he said. Jim said, you know what, if we don't make the playoffs and do this, that, and the other, I'll step down. All right, so Jim's out of there now. It's Jenny Buss. She hires Rob Pelinka to come in as general manager. He replaces Mitch Kupchak, and now Magic Johnson is in there. And Jenny Buss, they're running the team. They haven't done diddly squat. This team is still non-competitive. Yeah, they make for good watching on TV right now. But as far as being competitive, and you do this trade with Isaiah Thomas, and to try to get LeBron James, and what the Lakers are on the verge of missing out on another big fish day. There's no guarantee you're going to get those
Paul
big
George,
fish.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee you're going to get LeBron James and Paul George. And, I mean, what are you waiting for?
And this is the thing, too. You kind of setting yourself up because, yeah, of course, this summer is going to be very big for a lot of people because they're trying to make those power moves. But to me, I kind of feel that they kind of set themselves up in a spot where they can grow and continue growing. Because I just don't think it'll be a very wise idea to go ahead and spend all that room on something that you won't want to just put more into. Because I totally kind of feel that, yeah, you want to make your jump at LeBron and you want to get Paul George back home, and that's fine. But in my head, it kind of keeps on going through the same procedure of what makes you think Paul George isn't want to walk away from this situation he has now, because now it's starting to click over there. Now OKC seems like a better destination for him because he can possibly go longer, quicker. Because maybe him, Russell Westbrook, and Adams have something going right now. Maybe Melo doesn't join them, you know, in coming years. But maybe somehow they get someone else that can fill in that spot or just add to what they have. Mm-hmm. They're a lot closer to where he wants to be than the Lakers, and especially after this summer. Because let's say, for example,
you know, the Lakers already put a down payment on Paul George, called $500,000. you know that. I think they want him.
Yeah, you can definitely say that, right? But what I'm saying is that to think that they can just automatically be that team in 1 year, I'm not saying that it's not possible because, yeah, you can pull a Cleveland Cavaliers, what they just did, and just go through a whole structural change in one day. But honestly, what you want to build and try to be that Lakers from yesteryear is, of course, draft really well and acquire talent that's going to want to grow with that and keep that around. But you can't just do this overnight.
No,
it's
going to
be a process.
See, I disagree a little bit in the sense, well, I agree with some things. First, I think this is a great move for the Lakers, and I think it's fair to criticize the ownership before, and I think part of that was not just the Lakers. I think giving out those contracts in the summer of 2016, everyone saw the cap going up, and they're the cap's going to keep going up. It goes up $25 million. We all have all this cap space. We don't know what to do. It's like when you get a bonus or a surplus you have to spend. It's like, let's just go spend it on whatever. And then teams gave out these outrageous contracts, Lakers.
Mike Conley.
Yeah. But at least Mike Conley is a top-end point guard. Like, you give out, like, the Blazers with the Allen Krabs and the Evan Turners. You have the Noah contract, which is an albatross. The Lakers with those two guys, Mozgov and Deng. Ryan Anderson with the Rockets, Jan Mahimny with the Wizards. It goes on and on. And then this year the cap doesn't go up as much as expected. And not only that, it's going to start flattening out, and teams misread the market. And it's why you see, like, if George Hill's only got 2 years this past season, in the last summer, if George Hill had been in the summer before, he would have gotten four years, $20 million. I think that's a factor. So it wasn't just the Lakers, but they were obviously that's why they're out. I think I like what the management has done so far with considering the situation. And I think they're actually set up to potentially get LeBron. I know it sounds crazy. I think it's – look, if you put Paul George and LeBron on that roster, I think it's second.
I see it.
It may not be better than the Rockets or the Warriors, but I think you at least have to put him up there. And I think – when you have two top-end players, you can always trade for more because they do have good trade pieces. They have good young pieces that can play well with two. That's the thing. Like, you're already going to have two high-end players, and those young guys, I think, can actually play well with them. They're not going to be asked to do too much, and obviously they're going to be inexperienced. There'll be a growth period, but I think they're setting themselves up well to potentially do that. I'm not saying it's going to happen because a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. I think the Spurs and Rockets both have a shot at LeBron once the summer comes along. Those two teams are much more ready to win now.
Right.
But I think if you put those two guys on that team, I think it makes things interesting. And they got rid of bad contracts. I think they got rid of guys they didn't see a future with anyway. So, the Deng contract is going to be an issue, but I think they'll be able to move that potentially. They'll just have to give up a ton in players they don't want. And I think that's what they're seeing now. But I like these moves for the Lakers. I think they're the big winners of the trade.
Well, not to mention that they will definitely be a lottery team again. And who knows where that ping pong thing might drop. Because they're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Well, they don't have their pick. Their pick belongs, I believe, to Boston. I know there's some trade protections. I believe it belongs to Boston or – I don't know if it's Boston or the Sixers.
You know what? It might be Boston because
I just know they don't have their pick this year.
How do you let the Celtics get back to where they are?
Well, they've been making smart moves this whole time, though. That's why they've been loaded up. So, yeah, they definitely are well
taken
care of.
It's called Billy King trading the house for aging KG and Pierce and Ainge pulling off the all-time fleece. I mean, people think that Kyrie trade is bad. That pales in comparison because that trade is an all – when you consider all the factors, that Nets-Celtics trade back in 2013, I believe, with – KG and Pierce and
that's
an all-timer because it allowed Boston so much flexibility and so much leverage with the picks they got, and it created a domino effect, and it allowed them to not only rebuild quickly but completely control the market when Ainge was already fleecing guys anyway, as you can see with some of the deals he's made.
So that
is an all-timer, not just from the trade itself on the surface of how big of a fleecing it was, but in terms of the domino effect it had on the rest of the league.
So that was the NBA's version of the Dallas Cowboys Herschel Walker deal, where we trade you Herschel Walker for the entire team.
And I think another way that I don't think we probably hit just yet, that let's just say the Lakers get one guy at least. Let's say either they get Paul George, maybe they're not LeBron, or maybe vice versa. I think they're still in a contention for getting another big man. And I think with all the space that they do have, let's say they do go all in for it. What's stopping them from maybe, let's say, offering a Clint Capela or someone of that nature? Or even a Cousins. Let's say Cousins, you know, comes back.
Now, that's the name and that's been thrown around. As a matter of fact, that was the name that got Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak fired. Because remember, because they botched that deal with DeMarcus Cousins, and the next thing you know, there was a big shakeup there. They were heavily trying to go after. You already got him in the state of California. Why let him go? And that's what ended up causing, you know, the big shakeup to begin with.
Well, and the problem with Cousins, I think a few weeks ago that you could definitely see something like that happen. It's just when the ruptured Achilles injury is just, it's a killer.
Out of nowhere, too. It's
unfortunate, but I mean, not just, obviously you saw Kobe get it, but I mean, he was already at the end, but even then, he was never the same.
Right.
Wes Matthews is another example. Yeah. Look how he is. He was one of the, to me, easily the five best 3-and-D guys in the league back when he was with Portland. Ruptures Achilles, and he's never been close to the same. So it's, now for him, it's different because he's a bigger guy, so, you know, he doesn't rely on his athleticism as much as like a guard, but man, coming back from an injury like that is, it's going to be tough.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. And the possibilities are endless for them as of right now, because I think even, let's say they do keep a little, you know, some on the side or set themselves up for the next year after that. You know, I think right now they're at least trying to position themselves. And Shay, you're right. They definitely have themselves in a situation where they can only progress. And, you know, they are now getting to that point where they're trying to be like Boston. Because to me, Boston had me going crazy how, you know, they're still a really good team, but they put themselves in a position to still draft Tatum. I mean, to be one of those top picks, even though they're still a really decent team. That's something you don't see. But to be able to put yourself in a situation like that. And as of right now, the only thing I just don't feel is that you can just go for broke is right now. Just throw it all on the table for this one summer. I know there's a lot out there, but just to me, in my head, I don't think
they will. I think it's really going to be if obviously LeBron and Paul George are a package deal. If not, they'll just roll it over. If one of them comes, maybe. But I honestly think it's going to be those two or nothing to me. Like I think if they come or one of them comes, I think it'll be both, because I think if I could, like, I don't think they're going to be coming to, like, without each other. I think it's going to be both, or like Paul George stays in OKC and LeBron goes to Houston or San Antonio, or LeBron stays in Cleveland and Paul George resigns with OKC. I think it'll be something like that. So I think they'll be able to kind of, they can play both sides of the fence and roll it over to next year and see what happens.
Because I think it's safe to say that we know that LeBron James will be leaving Cleveland. I think that it's where he's going to go. And yeah, we hear that he could be anywhere. But it looked like it's going to be West Coast, though. I can guarantee that. So speaking of the West Coast, just looking at the Western Conference right now, Houston Rockets, the hottest team not only in the Western Conference but in the NBA, winning 9 of the last 10, currently on a 6-game win streak, only half a game out of the first place.
Yeah,
Golden State Warriors.
And this is the thing, too, that I think isn't Joe Johnson going to go through a buyout, I think, with the Sacramento, and now he's possibly a piece that can be added. And of course the names that keep on coming up, of course, is Boston, Golden State and Houston. So a possible piece that can go into someone else as of right now, though, as, you know, Mr. Right Now, like not waiting until something else happens. But if that happens, I think that can possibly change, you know, the aspect a little bit, because if Golden State acquires Joe Johnson, that changes the game a little bit for me. Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Man, great NBA talk tonight, guys.
Yeah, it's
great
all right.
Stuff here, and I know we're getting heavy into the NBA, especially now that football is over. So, folks,
yeah, this is our first full hour of basketball.
Yeah, I know. Exciting stuff here. So, stick around here. We got one more segment left here. You are listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramone.
All right, the last and final segment here on the Sports Kings show here on SB Nation Radio. Don't forget, if you missed any part of this show, you can go and listen to the podcast at Podcast Arena Sports Kings. Podcast Arena Sports Kings. You can follow us on Twitter at Sports Kings and our Facebook page, which is Sports Kings SB Nation. Want to thank our producer, Shay, who be laying down the tracks and the knowledge.
And the knowledge, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. We get two for one here on this show. And we also want to thank our sponsor, Ryan Stiegel State Farm. Ryan Stiegel State Farm, 281-893-0550, or the website www.mysftexas.com. College basketball.
I was like, what?
College basketball.
Signing
this weekend.
Day was the other day, I
yes.
guess.
College. And you know what, though? We have to say a couple of birthdays. NBA guard Klay Thompson, it's his birthday today. Klay is 28. And Joe Maddon, the baseball manager, you know that pitchers report next week. Valentine's
Already.
Day. We got to start talking baseball here pretty soon. And Alonzo Mourning, 48 years old today. Happy birthday, Alonzo Mourning. All right, folks, have a great weekend. We see you back here next week on the Sports Kings Show here on SB Nation Radio.
There's no way he's 48.